Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Where to birth your baby? It's one of the biggest decisions you'll make during pregnancy. If you're hoping for a more natural labor and delivery experience, then a birthing center could be the option that's best for you. I'm Susan Melnico, a certified nurse midwife for 30 years, and this is Preggy Pals, episode 23.
Is that a plus sign?
Pink or blue?
Hospital or home birth?
What type of food should I be eating?
I think I just peed myself.
I'm pregnant. And I have to exercise?
What pregnancy glow?
Wait, was that a contraction?
Gotta make these pants fit!
I've got kinkles!
What do you mean there's more than one?
You've got the symptoms, and now you've got the support you need for a happy 9 months. This is Preggy Pals, your pregnancy your way. Welcome to Preggy Pals, broadcasting from the Birth Education Center of San Diego. I'm your host, Sunny Galt. Do you have a pregnancy question for our team of experts? You can call our Preggy Pals hotline at 619-866-4775 and leave us a message, or you can send us an email and we'll get your questions answered, and we'll also include those questions and answers on a future episode. Okay, today is a big day for us. That's because today is the launch of the Preggy Pals Club. Now, this is an exclusive membership club, and it's available to all of our listeners. And it gives you all access to all of our archived episodes, because what we do, we basically, the 10 most recent episodes of Preggy Pals are free, completely free. You can download them, do whatever you want. But then after the 10 most recent, they go into an archive system. So this basically opens it up and you can listen to any episode you want to. But in addition to that, we're going to offer bonus interviews, written transcripts of the shows. I know some of you guys have been asking about that. Plus a special monthly newsletter with special giveaways, discounts, and much more. So you can access all this great information through the web or through our new Preggy Pals app. If you guys would like some more information on that, you can visit our website, which is preggypals.com. Click on the members link at the top of the page. Okay, and if you hear a bunch of clicking going on in the background here, Katie Stevens is joining us. She is a professional birth photographer, and she's taking some behind-the-scenes photos of our Preggy Pals taping, and we'll include those photos on our Facebook fan page if you guys want to check them out. All right, let's introduce our panelists. Stephanie, let's start with you.
Hi, I'm Stephanie Saufeld. I am 29. I am a gemologist, due January 9th with my first baby, a girl, and we are having a hospital birth.
My name is Misty Davies. I'm 33. I'm a gemologist. I'm due October 10th with a little girl, my first, and hoping for an unmedicated hospital birth.
Okay, so we recently launched a new segment here on Preggy Pals that focuses on the best pregnancy apps, because there are a lot out there. And I wanted to get some feedback from some of our panelists here in the studio. So Stephanie showed me her iPhone just a little bit ago. It is loaded with pregnancy apps. So Stephanie, what are some of your favorites?
Well, I have 12 on here. Do you really use all 12
of them?
No, I don't. Okay. Occasionally I cruise them every so often, but no. There are probably three that I use on a fairly regular basis.
Okay.
So one is iPregnancy, which is pretty cool because you can put in all kinds of information, like your OB visits. You can log your weight and your blood pressure and you know, any notes and journal. And
is it free?
Yeah. I don't think this one was free. It might have been like $2.
Okay.
And it, you know, logs everything, and you can post pictures of yourself, you can journal, you can do whatever. It's an all-in-one, so it's pretty neat. And it also shows you like average pictures of ultrasounds, like at what stage they're in 2D and 3D.
I like doing that. I would go online, yeah, you know, on different websites and check that out. That's cool.
So you kind of think, okay, well, I'm 22 weeks, so I'm going to see, like, oh, that's what an average, you know, 22-week
that's
old
what my baby looks baby like right looks. Now.
Yeah, exactly, because you're curious, because you only get so many ultrasounds at the doctor.
Yeah.
Another one that I like is foods to avoid while pregnant.
Ooh, that's
so
a good
it's
one.
Like a whole big list of you know cheese and dairy, dressings and condiments.
Is it was that seafood. The name of the app?
Like it's called Foods to Avoid When Pregnant, and I think wow. that one was 99 cents.
Okay.
So, but it's worth it because it's an easy you know when you're out and you're ordering off a menu and you're like, wait, can I?
It's a good
that?
One.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good
yeah.
one to have.
Yeah.
So stuff like that, and then also there's the Bump, which is just like a forum where a bunch of girls, sometimes it gets a little crazy and and whatever, but it's a bunch of girls just posting questions about random pregnancy related questions, and yeah. you can answer their questions or you can ask your own questions, and so it's kind of nice, it's kind of informative, some yeah. of it's dramatic and right. you know unnecessary stuff, and I think that's a lot of like younger because I've seen some girls have asked questions like, oh, how old is everyone on this app, and they're all like in their early 20s, and I'm like, wow, I feel really old. And like there's like no one that's like in their later 20s right, or 30s
right.
but you know, it's kind of funny for drama occasionally.
For young kids, those young kids,
those crazy kids. But yeah, so those I use fairly regularly.
Well, good. Well, thank you for sharing that
sure.
with us. Don't forget, Preggy Pals now has a free app. It's available in the Amazon and iTunes marketplace. It's a great place for moms on the go because it automatically updates with the latest episodes and even allows you to connect with the show through our social networking sites. And so for some of the things that Stephanie mentioned today, we'll include some links to those on the episodes page for this website so you guys can check them out.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Frame. Mother's Day is almost here. What are you getting her? Something that shows you care. Something that makes her feel loved. Something that won't stress you out. Something like the Skylight Frame. The Skylight Frame is the perfect gift. It's a touchscreen photo frame your whole family can upload photos to, from wherever they are in the world. It's a way to share with her all the moments that matter. It sets up in seconds. You can even make sure that it's already loaded with photos when your mom opens her Mother's Day gift. And her Skylight Frame can hold thousands of the treasured photos you share. It's an easy, heartfelt way for mom to stay connected with those who matter most. It really is the perfect gift. Now, as a special Mother's Day offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightframe.com/easy.
Today we're learning all about birthing centers and how it can be a great alternative to the traditional way of giving birth at a hospital. Susan Melnico is a certified nurse midwife who's delivered many babies at birthing centers, including Best Start Birthing Center here in San Diego. Welcome to the show, Susan.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
So what exactly is a birthing center? People listening to this going, what are they talking about?
Well, there are birthing centers that are inside hospitals, and then there are other birthing centers that are standalone out of hospital birthing centers, which is what Best Start is here in San Diego. And it's a place where we provide comprehensive care. So a woman can come and get all of her prenatal care, see the midwives, and then do her classes there and plan on birthing there. And then we provide all of the postpartum care as well.
So you would go to a birth center even for your prenatal care, where
yes,
you might
definitely.
Go to a typical OB. Wow.
Definitely.
Okay.
Yeah. As nurse midwives, we provide, you know, full scope, comprehensive care. So that a woman really gets to know who's going to be with her at the time of her birth mm-hmm. and get comfortable with being in the facility where she'll be birthing.
So the care that they are going to be receiving is from a certified nurse midwife, which is what you are.
Correct.
Okay. And I think we should probably explain the difference between a midwife and what an OB is. So can you kind of give us
Certainly.
An overview?
Well, there's a couple of different kinds of midwives.
Okay.
I am a certified nurse midwife, which means I was a registered nurse before I went into midwifery.
Okay.
And then I went back to graduate school with a master's degree to become a midwife. And usually the programs are about 2 years in length. We learn how to be specialists in normal birth and how to identify when something is not normal.
What's normal birth?
Okay, normal pregnancy.
Okay.
When mom is healthy.
Okay, got it.
No high blood pressure, no kidney problems, no heart problems. You know, when mom is healthy, and then we know how to identify if there is a problem that comes up.
Okay.
So that we can work with the system and get the appropriate care.
Okay.
how are midwives assigned to, do you call them patients? Women that come in?
We actually call them clients.
Clients. Okay. How are they assigned?
We do work as a group.
Okay.
So that is the one thing. We don't guarantee which midwife it will be unless the client and the midwife agree that she's going to be available. But there are five of us right now. We work together as a team and we take call. And that's the way that we have been able to do this and keep it sustainable.
Yeah.
I did home birth when I first became a midwife for about 7 years. And it really, really takes its toll on your family and your personal
life. You don't have one.
Yeah. So this is a compromise.
Yeah.
But we find that it works really well. And women have the opportunity to meet all five of us.
I was going
to
say, that was going to be my follow-up. Yeah.
They have the opportunity to meet all five of us so that it's not a stranger that's going to be with them.
Okay.
And we all have the same philosophy, similar skills. Mm-hmm. The only difference is our personality.
Okay.
And it's really interesting. If it's really important to a woman to have a specific midwife, oftentimes, you know, she may talk to us and say that, and we give her our call schedule. And I don't know how many times over my career women have gone into labor when I'm available if they really wanted me. It's interesting.
Their
really
body knows. They're like, wait, Susan's not on call yet.
Right.
Okay, now I can go into labor.
But it really hasn't been a problem for the clients that we have.
Okay.
So if you start out with a particular client, they come into labor and it's your call, do you stay then the entire
It depends. Sometimes, well, we take 24 hours of call.
Okay.
So we try to avoid a woman having to have more than one midwife by doing 24. But it depends on how our 24 hours has gone. Uh-huh. You know, if we've been up and busy and we were up the night before and now we've gone through a full night, then when our time is done, we're really glad to see the other midwife. And probably it's better to have the other midwife because we're not at our top.
Sure. That's true.
So that's how we look at it. And I think it works really well that way.
Okay. Now, why would someone choose to give birth at a birthing center over a hospital? What are some of the common reasons?
For women who are having a subsequent baby, a lot of times they really weren't happy with their first experience.
Okay.
And they're looking for some alternative way that where they feel it will be a more satisfying
experience
for them. And we're finding that a lot of first-time moms now are coming oftentimes because they're afraid of what's going to happen at the hospital. There's a lot of films out there now, like The Business of Being Born, and a lot of people have been watching this, and they're kind of coming as a way to avoid what they're afraid of at the hospital.
Mm.
Sometimes that's a good reason, and sometimes we talk about how, you know, it's good to go and explore the hospital and really make
An educated choice
on what's really going to be good for them.
Okay.
It's my belief system that it's not one size fits all, that there should be alternatives of hospital, birth center, and home for women, and that women need to seek wherever they're going to feel the most comfortable.
Okay. Have you ladies considered giving birth at a birthing center, or what was that process like for you?
I would have liked to had I really thought a little further in advance as far as my care. You know, I have my OB and, you know, I have an HMO insurance, and then you kind of think, okay, well, I'm kind of stuck, like, at these two hospitals that I can choose from.
Yeah.
And I mean, my preference, yeah, it would have been a birth center, but next time I'll plan a little bit better.
I didn't mean to shame you.
No, no, because it is something that I really wish that I had investigated earlier prior to getting pregnant.
Right.
So.
I think that brings up a problem with our healthcare system.
Yeah, it does.
That, you know, women are dependent on what their insurance will provide.
Right. It is, of course.
And we're so limited, especially, I mean, we work together, Misty and I. So, you know, we have the same insurance. We basically, you know, we're kind of pigeonholed into this little
two options. Yeah, I was going to say, I thought exactly the same as Stephanie. And then I also thought, well, what if there's a complication?
Yeah. That's a scary thought, too.
Well, one of the things that we do at Best Start and most birth centers do is we try to be a part of the healthcare system and not totally separate from it. So in our situation, we have three alternative options if hospital becomes necessary. We have a contract with UCSD Hospital, and we can always transfer there, which is very close to the birth center. We also have two private physicians who work with us, and one of them practices at Sharp Mary Birch, and the other one practices at Scripps Mercy and Sharp Grossmont. So we have all of those as options. And a woman will choose what her backup plan will be prior to labor. And then if a problem comes up, we know exactly what we're going to do.
Right. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
As far as the type of birth experience you want to have, are birthing centers just for women that want to have natural births? Obviously, you know, for medication and stuff like that. Where's the line drawn?
Birth centers are all a little bit different, but most birth centers, and Best Start included, we do not use any pain medication at this time. And certainly epidurals and right. anesthesia like that are not available.
Okay.
We do have tubs, though.
I know you guys are big on giving birth in tubs. It's all over your website.
Warm water is worth a lot of pain medication.
Yeah.
It works beautifully. So for some women, that's all they need, and okay. that gets them over the hump.
Okay. What additional, and you mentioned this a little bit before, but I want to back up. What type of services do birth centers offer pregnant women? We talked a little bit about prenatal care. So what does that look like? So I decided I want to give birth in a birthing center. Mm-hmm. So from, you know, I'm 8 weeks pregnant or whatever, from the get-go.
The way we do it is we provide tours. Okay. We have tours all through the week. And a woman will call us and we'll say, we suggest you come and see the birth center.
Okay.
Learn about the services that we have. Come and be here. Walk through it. See how it feels to you. If it feels like the right place to you, then it's probably a good thing. And so then they can make an appointment for the first visit. We would provide a typical first prenatal visit where we do lab work. We give lots and lots of information and education about diet, exercise, and kind of what the standard prenatal care will look like.
Okay.
And then a woman will come on a regular basis throughout the pregnancy, very similar to what physicians do.
Okay.
Once a month at the beginning of the pregnancy, every 2 weeks in the middle, and every week at the end.
Okay. Uh-huh. So I have to ask, because we did talk a little bit about insurance and what that covers. So mm-hmm. are most women paying out of pocket for
That's
this?
That's what then? I want to know, too.
Yeah, no, not actually. We're very lucky at Best Start. Best Start has been around for almost 30 years. And we have contracts with several different insurance companies.
Okay.
We accept Medi-Cal. We find that there are a number of women on Medi-Cal. We have a contract with TRICARE, so we have a lot of military families. And then some of the private insurances like Aetna, Blue Cross, will pay for our care as well.
Okay.
It's a matter of us switching from the HMO
it's
to the PPO.
It's the HMOs that are the
it
issue.
Is.
Well, I'm in the same
See,
boat, ladies.
Darn it. Next time. But just out of curiosity, out of pocket, if someone were to have to pay out of pocket, what does that look like?
For comprehensive care, I believe we're at $6,600 right now, and that would include all of the prenatal care, the birth, and up through 6 weeks postpartum.
And lab work?
And I think lab work may be separate, which would be about another $200. It may be included. I haven't
so
kept pace with that.
Seven-ish.
Now, should transfer to the hospital become necessary, that's separate.
Yeah. Okay.
But if you're covered by your insurance will always cover that.
Right. All right. Well, when we come back, we're going to find out exactly what kind of experience you can expect at a birthing center throughout your labor and delivery. We'll be right back. Welcome back. We are talking about birthing centers as a possible alternative to hospitals. And joining us is Susan Melnico. She's a certified nurse midwife right here in San Diego with Best Start Birth Center. So let's talk about labor and delivery and what women can expect. At what point do you recommend moms come into the birth center to start laboring there? Because I know in hospitals, you know, you have to be a certain amount of centimeters and whatever, but are you limited with space? Like, how does that work?
We encourage moms to stay home as long as possible,
okay.
just because I think it's a comfort thing. I think moms do well at home. But like I said, we usually talk to people 2-3 times while they're in labor, and we help guide them. Now, of course, it depends on if it's a first baby or a subsequent baby and what her previous experiences have been. It also depends on how far away she lives, because we do have moms coming far distances. And so we really individualize what we decide to do at that time. In general, we have people come in when we think they're in active labor. And we try not to actually admit them to the birth center until they're about 4 centimeters.
Okay.
So sometimes we're really lucky that we're close to Balboa Park. Sometimes a mom will come down.
Take a walk.
Yes, exactly. And it's a beautiful place to walk. And then she'll come back in an hour or two and we'll see what's going on.
I had to do that, but I had to walk the halls of the hospital. Right. Not as pretty as a park, really.
Right, right.
Okay. So when they first arrive, is there some sort of process to obviously check them out to see how far dilated they are?
We will check and see how far dilated they are. We'll kind of check and see what their contractions are doing.
Okay.
We check their blood pressure and their pulse, and we listen to the baby's heartbeat. We check the baby's position to make sure we haven't made a mistake earlier, that the baby's in a good head-down position.
Okay.
And just assess everything so that we know that mom and baby are really healthy and appropriate to be at the birth center.
Okay. And then how many rooms, I know this will vary on a case-by-case basis, but how many birthing rooms do you guys have available at Best Start?
We have 3 birthing rooms.
Okay.
And we birth an average of about 20 babies a month, and we find that most of the time it's not an issue.
Okay.
Yeah. I've worked there 2.5 years, and this week, for the very first time, we had 4, and we ended up using our call room. The midwives have a call room with a bed, and we ended up using that, but like I said, that's the first time that's happened.
That's ever happened. Okay, because that may be a concern of some women, because you think hospital, they're probably going to be able to accommodate you, but a smaller center,
we were still able to accommodate. Perfect. And it worked beautifully.
Okay. And how involved are you with your clients when they're in labor? Because that was one of the things when I had my first, I had an OB, and it was in a hospital, but it was a situation where I didn't know who was going to be on call. Mm-hmm. But with OBs, you know, you're primarily taken care of by your nurse, okay? And then they just kind of come in for the grand finale, you know?
It's the opposite. We practice the opposite. When a mom calls in labor, she talks directly to the midwife that's on call. And usually I talk to people 2-3 times before it's time for them to come into the birth center.
Okay.
When we decide it's time for her to come in, I'm the one that meets her. The midwife provides all the direct care. We do all of what a nurse would do in the hospital. And then when she's really active, you know, a couple of hours before we think she's going to birth, we call an RN in.
I see.
Okay. Or a birth assistant. We have midwives and nurses
who
work in that role.
Okay, so how many people are usually there? Another thing that I remember from giving birth is that when the big finale comes, suddenly there's 10 people in the room and the crotch is wide open. And
usually from our side of staff, we only have 2 people.
Only 2 people.
The midwife.
Nice. It's nice and intimate.
Yes.
You know?
And that's a big reason that some people choose to come. It's much more personalized and intimate than it would be in a hospital.
Yeah, there's not the random nurses and doctors and like, students.
Who are you?
That's right.
So, what happens if something goes wrong and the mother or the baby needs
in labor?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we are assessing very carefully. You know, we don't use external fetal monitors during labor. We are actually accredited. We're nationally accredited by the American Association of Birth Centers. And one of their criteria is that we are not to use external fetal monitors, which are used extensively in the hospital. And the reason for that is that actually all the studies and research that's been done shows that they are useful for high-risk pregnancies, but they've never been shown to actually make a difference in low-risk pregnancies. So rather than using that, we use intermittent auscultation, we call it. We're listening to the baby's heart rate every 20 minutes, and then as the labor progresses, we listen more frequently, up to every 5 minutes when the mom is pushing.
Mm-hmm.
But through that, we're evaluating whether or not we think the baby is doing well. So one of the things that can happen is if we are listening to the baby's heartbeat and we're concerned, we may say, you know what, we think we need to go to the hospital because that's going to be a better place for your baby. Or if the mom's blood pressure starts to go up, that's another thing that can occur. So then we would talk with the mom and her family and say, you know what, we really think that probably transferring to the hospital is a better scenario. Generally, our transfers are not emergency transfers, and we go in a car to the hospital. We contact the hospital and the physician that we've decided to work with, make sure that they have room and that they're expecting us. We make copies of everything that's gone on, and then we go over to the hospital. Obviously, if we have an emergency situation, we call 911. We do use the, but it's very seldom that we have a transfer like that.
Okay. I was going to say, how many times does that usually happen?
We have about a 15% transfer rate of moms who start labor and then end up going to the hospital. And the bulk of that is a mom who actually looks at us and says, I want an epidural. Oh, okay. It's okay. Not because there's an issue.
Right.
Yeah.
And what kind of number should we be looking for? I mean, is that a pretty average number for birth centers?
I think for a birth center, that probably is. There may be some birth centers that have a lower rate, but we're pretty busy. You know, we take care of a lot of women.
Sure. So. Okay. Now, assuming that a mother is able to give birth at the birth center and isn't transferred, what happens after the baby's born? How long can they stay there, and what kind of care do they receive?
That's another thing that's very, very different, because it's a much shorter stay than it would be at the hospital. We take care of the birth. We're prepared if the mom has had little tears, you know, we prepared to stitch it. We're checking the mom's blood pressure and pulse, the amount of bleeding she's having, and we're doing that very frequently for the first hours after birth. The midwives are trained to do physical exams on the newborn, so we do a full physical exam on the newborn. We're doing the vital signs to see what the heart rate is and the respirations of the baby. And in general, we have a policy that the minimal stay is 4 hours. But our average stay seems to be about 6 to 8 hours. And at about that point, moms really kind of want to go home and get in their own bed.
I see. Sure is better than several days.
So our criteria, you know, are that mom and baby are both stable.
Okay.
Baby has nursed well. We want to know baby can nurse before we send them home. Mom's been able to get up and urinate, take a shower, feels good, has had a meal. And then we know that everybody's good. We do provide a home visit the following day. And we contract with Whole Life Home Care, which is Vicki Wolfram, who is a nurse midwife and a lactation consultant. And she goes and visits all of our moms in the first 2 days after.
Well, you don't get that in the hospital, do you?
That's great.
Yeah.
Do you have a lactation consultant visit you while you're in the center? Or
not a lactation consultant. All of the midwives have a lot of experience in training with breastfeeding. So that is one of our really big things. We when the baby is born, we lift the baby right onto the mom's chest, and the baby isn't taken anyplace else. And I firmly believe that that makes a huge difference on how the baby gets going with the breastfeeding. If there isn't a lot of disruption, we usually don't even weigh the baby for the first several hours. It's one of the last things we do, because we want, when baby settles in on mom's chest, they really get ready to nurse. And we usually get them nursing within about 20 to 30 minutes. And we don't disrupt them until we know that there's been really good nursing experience going on.
That's great.
What are some of the questions that we should be asking birthing centers in our area to determine if it's a good fit? Obviously, we want to go in and we want to explore that. But I know a lot of women are concerned about, like, what their stats are for different things.
Yeah. No, I think it's important to know how long a center has been around and what the experience is of the midwives who staff it, you know, how much experience and what their training is, and then what the transfer rate is.
To a hospital. Okay.
Right. And what the reasons are for the transfer rate. And what the affiliations are. Are they affiliated with a hospital so that it'll be an easy, you know, transfer? Are they affiliated with physicians? And, you know, just explore those kinds of things so that you know that it's all covered.
All right. Well, thank you, Susan, for sharing your wisdom, your knowledge with us today. We really appreciate it. Of course, we'd love to learn about your experience giving birth at a birthing center, or if you have additional questions for us about today's topic, let us know, and we'll contact Susan and see if she can answer some of those questions for you. You can also share your experience on our Facebook page or leave a message in the comments section for this episode on our website. We have a message from one of our listeners. This comes from Kristen of Fort Collins, Colorado. Kristen writes, "Hi, Sunny. Loved the episode on surrogacy. I've actually never thought about it as an option for me, but listening to your show has made me rethink the possibilities. My husband and I had some difficulty getting pregnant the first time, and for a while, we weren't even sure if we could have our own children. If that had been the case, we may have needed a surrogate of our own." Kristen, thank you so much for writing in. We love sharing all this information with our listeners. That wraps up our show for today. Coming up next week, we're exploring the benefits of professional birth photography. Thanks for listening to Preggy Pals, your pregnancy your way.
This has been a New Mommy Media production. The information and material contained in this episode are presented for educational purposes only. Statements and opinions expressed in this episode are not necessarily those of New Mommy Media and should not be considered facts. While such information and materials are believed to be accurate, it is not intended to replace or substitute for professional medical advice or care, and should not be used for diagnosing or treating health care problem or disease or prescribing any medication. If you have questions or concerns regarding your physical or mental health or the health of your baby, please seek assistance from a qualified health care provider.
Hey, mamas. Don't forget to check out Mighty Moms. It's our online community built for new moms just like you. Not only can you connect with other moms, but you can also join us backstage for special mom-only online events. And you'll also be notified when we're recording so you can join us as a special guest. Visit our website, newmommymedia.com, and click on the Mighty Moms banner. It's free. That's newmommymedia.com. See you there.